If any man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. Interesting selection for Pentecost. They tell us very quickly why it is the Holy Ghost came to us at Pentecost, so that we might live the kind of life that will finally unite us to God for all eternity. That, after all, is the goal. See, we're made for God, by God, to be with him forever. It's pretty simple. And we see his great love and mercy when we see that not only did he create us and write his law in our hearts, his law which will get us to heaven, but he also gave us then the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai and the teachings of the prophets and the patriarchs. But he also came to live among us and to die for us in order to complete his teaching and to prove himself to us. See, love requires humility because it requires total self-giving, adapting yourself to the needs of the beloved. Now, God is so humble that he became man to teach us and to prove himself to us by his life, death, and resurrection. He stooped so low as to prove himself to us. Isn't that amazing? How much he loves us, how much he desires us to be in heaven. It's so amazing that many have been scandalized by it and will not believe that God could stoop so low. Well, as I was saying, he created us to get to heaven. And then he totally stacked the deck in our favor. He gave us his law written in our hearts, the Ten Commandments, sort of a how-to-be-successful manual, literally written in stone. How much more obvious could he be? And then he gave us the prophets, and in the fullness of time he sent his Son. But finally, there is Pentecost, God making his abode with men, a constant companion to strengthen and guide us. Is not God merciful? Could anyone say that he does not love us? If things are hard, remember it's not God's fault. We've done that. We all, of course, want to be good Catholics. We want to love God and do his will. Most of all, we just want to get to heaven. Or, to be perfectly honest, sometimes it's just a matter of wanting not to go to hell. But we're weak. We're attracted by the things of this world, and sometimes we lose sight of God and his goodness. If, on the other hand, we don't want to keep God's commandments, then this is proof that we do not love God. Then we have to figure out what we're going to choose, God and heaven, or the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a choice to be made there. Whom shall we serve, God or the devil? We must serve. We are not in charge. And serving anybody but God is to serve the devil, especially if we choose to serve ourselves. Our Lord tells us we must serve. He says, as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I. Commands are given by those in charge to those who serve. And we know to choose to not serve God is to make ourselves slaves to the devil. It wasn't long ago we heard Bob Dylan quoted in a sermon, I think. Well, he has another one just right. You gotta serve somebody, he said. It might be Satan or it might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. He would know, and he, by the way, chose to serve the wrong one, so keep a prayer for Bob. But Pentecost is a sign of how we will triumph, how we can be free, how we can do this task that seems sometimes impossible in this fallen world. To love God, to keep his commandments. As the Father hath given me commandments, so do I. Our Lord is giving us the same commandment that his Father gave to him. We have the same orders that he does. We have the same mission that he does. But he came to redeem the world, and he's God. So how can we have part in that if we are not God? Well, it's because of this feast. The Holy Spirit comes upon the church. The Holy Spirit, we know, is God, just as much as the Father and the Son. In fact, the Spirit is the love of the Father and the Son for each other. And since this is true, then the Spirit is of the same nature as the Father and the Son, and thus the Spirit is God. And as our Lord says, that the Spirit will come to us and abide with us forever, this, then, is how we can fulfill this mission that we've been given, to keep His commandments, because we're made partakers in the power of His divine life by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. All of our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings can have redemptive value, can help save the world, because our actions, when we're in the state of grace, are supernatural actions. They can be united to Christ's actions, and Christ's actions, we know, save souls. Now, we said that the Holy Ghost is the mutual love between the Father and the Son, so the Spirit of God is love. That's important, to know that the Holy Spirit, who descends upon us in baptism and again in a special way in confirmation, to know that He is love. Because God is love, says St. John. And remember what we're made for, to know, love, and serve God in this world, to be happy with Him forever in heaven. We're made for God, and God is love. We're made for love, and the Holy Spirit is the divine love. So the Holy Spirit makes His abode with us, comes to us in the sacraments through the Church. In other words, we can start living our eternal destiny here and now by being in the state of grace and the Holy Spirit dwelling in our souls. The Feast of Pentecost is all about our divine calling to be one with God, and thus to act as God acts, to live God's life in this world through His Church. All of our actions become divine if we are faithful to the Spirit of God in us, not because of us, but because of the grace that He brings in us. Not only do we not have to serve the devil, but in serving God, we can be one with God. Our actions can be supernatural because we act in and through and by the life and the love of God, which love is a fire that inflames the heart like no earthly love could ever do. It is a light for our souls, a fountain that always satisfies perfectly. It is cool dew that refreshes the soul and makes it grow. Divine love is a quiet repose where we find peace and security. It is a perfect bond between our souls and God, caused by His dwelling therein. Divine love is a treasure containing every possible good and is worth more than the rest of the universe, which is why St. Francis de Sales tells us that we can pray for nothing better than the love of God, for in it are contained all other goods. Divine love is hotter than the fires of hell, and yet it is cool and refreshing as springtime. It is as high as heaven, and yet dwells as lowly as our souls. It's brilliant as the sun, and yet beautiful to gaze upon. And it's the perfect chain which binds us to God. And so it is perfect liberty and true freedom. One more thing that we know about divine love. The Canticle of Canticles tells us that love is strong as death. St. Alphonsus de Liguori, commenting on the passage, tells us that just as no created power can resist death, so there is no difficulty that true love cannot overcome. In fact, isn't that how we measure love? Is it true love? It's tested by the difficulties that it can overcome, by what it's willing to suffer for the one loved. And so the saints were happiest when, by human standards, they should have been the most miserable, when they were suffering and persecuted, because then they had some way to prove their love of God, to endure something for God, and to grow in love. All things come from God, even suffering. For suffering is a chance to grow in love. Everything is a gift from God so that we may know His love for us and that we may love Him. Suffering is the most precious of gifts, for it is purely about growing in love. It is a mark of God's love for us how much He permits us to suffer, for then our love can be tested and increased. Remember, it is love that came upon us at Pentecost, divine love. We can live and suffer and die well only by this power of God, the power of love, the Holy Ghost living in us. Otherwise, our suffering is just suffering. But suffering can be redemptive because of this union with God for the salvation of souls. And finally, this is why there is no safer recourse in all of our troubles and fears and our sufferings than to Mary. If love is strong as death and death cannot be stopped or overcome by any created power, then Mary cannot be stopped or overcome by any created power. Nor, in fact, can she be overcome by any power whatsoever, created or uncreated. That is, not even God can overcome the Blessed Mother. And how is that? Because God is love, and union with God is what we're made for. Those who love God keep His commandments. They follow His will in all things, especially in difficult things, in suffering. Who is more loved by God than His own mother? Mary is so perfectly full of the love of God, so perfectly united to Him, that love in her is the very love of God Himself, to such a degree that she never did nor would choose anything that would differ from His divine will. Even her son said that she was not blessed so much for being the mother of God as for hearing the word of God and keeping it. And likewise, she has suffered. Through the death of her son, she has suffered as no mere human has ever suffered. Her love has been perfected in the furnace of His passion. We are also all Mary's children. She is our mother as well as our teacher and protector. She is what we aspire to be. We want to be like her, for she is perfect in the love of God, such that she can never be without God nor separated from Him. She is full of God's love to the highest degree that any creature can be, higher even than all the angels and the saints. In other words, those who have recourse to Mary cannot fail. For love is strong as death, and Mary is so full of love of God that nothing can resist her, nothing can harm her, nothing can overcome her, nothing can successfully assault her. Nothing, because love is strong as death. So if we fly to the Blessed Mother in all of our trials, sufferings, temptations, we cannot lose. We cannot fail. We need only rest in her presence, remain close to her, and be protected by her. She who cannot be resisted nor overcome, not even by God, so full of love is she. So even just one Hail Mary, said with confidence in this power, and by one who aspires to keep God's commandments, just one Hail Mary defeats even the powers of hell. A single Hail Mary, because Mary is the force that cannot be resisted and the rock that cannot be moved. Because Mary is perfectly full of the love of God, because the Spirit of God has come upon her perfectly. And this is that same Spirit which comes upon us in baptism, confirmation, and when we're in the state of grace, and it came upon the church at Pentecost. The Spirit of God uniting Himself to us so that we might act with the power of God against our enemies. But not just against our enemies. We may act in all things in a way pleasing to God. The Holy Ghost in us can make each and every action we do, every temptation we endure, every good we do, every evil we suffer, can make them all holy, can make them all redound to our holiness and our growth in holiness. Never forget that holiness is here and now in all the ordinary things, in everything that we do, not just in prayer or when we come to church, but in everything. Here and now is holiness, changing a diaper, saying a rosary, losing a loved one, driving to work, coming to Mass, being humiliated, frustrated, all those things that make up our daily lives. Everything is for our growth in holiness. Because at Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came to make His abode with us. But in our weakness, our sinfulness, these things can prevent the kind of perfect fullness of the Holy Ghost. So we must always have recourse to Mary for our safety and our success. We must always do all things with her and through her, asking her aid. For then and only then can we be sure that we will not fail. Have confidence in her. Only then can we be sure of our salvation. Have recourse to Mary always in all of your prayers and all of our actions. Because God, who came once through Mary, will not come again except through Mary. And no one who has ever been devoted to her has ever been lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.